Hello. Welcome to the restaurant and welcome to a new episode of Straight Cheese, No Lettuce. This is going to be a very, very exciting episode. And you can hear the laughter in the background. I am here with a special guest, another friend of mine. Sorry, y'all. I'll tell you why I'm pausing in a minute, but he's a good friend of mine. He's really intelligent, especially when it comes to money. But when it comes to beef, he's the grill master. He is my friend, Joseph, aka Mr. J Certification, also known as Mr. Vicious. Say hello to the people in the restaurant, Joe.
What's going on, people?
And we're laughing the way we are
Oh my God.
because we planned this episode a couple days ago. Well, let me backtrack a little bit. I decided to get off social media and YouTube for a good couple of a week or two. Little did I know.
That was the worst week to go on the hiatus. That's all I could say.
You telling? Because when I get back, I hear Chris Brown drop the track. I hear Kendrick Lamar drop what, four tracks? I heard J. Cole drop one, but then he redacted his. Drake dropped one, and then now, at the time of this recording, Kendrick Lamar dropped two more tracks.
Another one. Another
So,
one.
depending on when this get out, there might be nine tracks by Kendrick Lamar by the time this episode goes out.
Oh my goodness, this is a good old fashioned what did J Ross Jim Ross used to say back in the day? This is just a good old fashioned slobber knocker. Oh my God. They bring it out the tables, the ladders, and the chairs. It's a full-on street fight. That's exactly what this is now. Oh my gosh. I can't even comprehend all of the tracks that have been dropped in a matter of 24 hours.
So far,
So far.
because like I said, we don't know what's gonna come after this. We might wrap up, and next thing you know, Kendrick released another track. Damn it!
Drake releases 3 a.m. in Toronto again.
God damn.
Yeah, ain't like at 3 a.m. and I'm like, bro,
Now,
what?
as I say this, we just listened to the last track, so I'm gonna ask, hey, Joseph, out of the four, or out of the, I guess you could say battle, do I really need to even ask who's winning this fight?
At
In
this
your experience.
point right now, I'm really saying that Kendrick Lamar has a comfortable lead, but for some strange reason, I'm only saying comfortable lead because, first off, Kendrick is a battle rapper, while Drake has battle rapping coaching or DNA, if you will. And the way that this is going, it is, yeah, it's a lot. It feels like
This is old school at its finest.
it is.
Like, if you listen to rap back in the 90s, when people had beef, you don't just, like, you don't do one track and then you wait for the other nigga to respond.
You keep
You
going.
keep going until your enemy is says, "I don't want no more smoke."
And now, like, you know, after J. Cole apologized or whatever, I immediately put him in my top 10, number 10. Like, I literally just dropped him right there. I was like, I'm just put you right there and I'm gonna figure out where I'm gonna put you after your album come out. Because what you did was just horrendous. I can't forgive you for that.
You talking about
Now,
J. Cole?
yes. Now I
J
understand why he backed out. I understand now. Because it got dark. Oh my goodness, it got dreary dark.
And what makes it worse is the fact J. Cole kind of started this whole bullshit with that whole line he said in that song. Which one of us is the big? What is it? We are this big three. Is it K. Dot, Aubrey, or me? And then Kendrick acted like Michael Jordan. I took that personally.
Ah, boom.
Man, fuck the big three. Nigga, it's just big me. Nigga, boom. I'm like,
And I'm like, well,
yeah. Look at
yeah.
it right now, you are.
That's why you still catch the strays in some of these disses. You still it's like it's not as many bullets as
Drake taken.
Yeah, but he's still catching like, you know, one or two in the leg, you know, just like let you know, hey, we're still gonna chip you down the side. But oh my goodness, like it got dark.
And if only want to get darker,
family members got involved.
Family members that Drake tried to hide got involved.
Then seeing, I'm not even sure if that's the real car. I feel like that's a replica. I don't think that was the real car. Because even if the Good Kid, Mad City car got crushed, I'm like, yo, this thing is getting out of hand.
Yeah, he's referring to the Family Matters video when you see the car that was on Kendrick Lamar's album getting crushed. Even though the fact he just released Not Like Us, he killed him in 316 in L.A.
Man.
These last two tracks are just nothing but the victory lap. Unless Drake got something in the back of the, in his back pocket. But even if he brought it out, I don't think it's going to matter.
Oh my goodness. It's, ooh. Like, you got people on YouTube reacting to it. They're trying to throw in the white flag. Everybody telling Drake just throw in the towel. I feel like it's gonna be another drop. And now everybody like, please don't drop on Cinco de Mayo. Like we all just
knowing Drake, that probably is what he's going to do.
Oh my goodness, I can't. I
and knowing Drake, he gonna probably put it in Spanish.
Metro.
he gonna drop a diss track. And then I'm going international with this shit and put it in Spanish just so you have to decipher. And knowing Kendrick, he probably got a plan for that too.
He probably got three more tracks lined up and just waiting to fire them off one after another like he did today. And I'm just like, if this was a tennis match, somebody cheated.
Who cheated?
I don't know who yet, because the ball is still in play. And right now, it's been going back and forth so much, I can't even keep up. And it's just been a day. Like, we were supposed to start this about an hour and a half ago. And when we was actually getting ready to, all of a sudden, I'm getting text messages like, yo, Kids just chop, Not Like Us. And I'm like, and how?
And then Joe right here told me, like, he dropped another one. I said, we just set up. We just literally set up right now. And you tell me there's another track out? You've got to be kidding me with this stuff, man. This is why this episode is kind of late. Or kind of hesitant. Because I want to publish this episode soon. But I'm scared Kendrick going to drop another 15 out. Another track before we get the thing comes out. Or whenever it comes out. But I've got to ask. The one track that Drake did bring out, it felt like he was not only going after Kendrick, he went after a bunch of people.
Oh, yeah. He definitely went after a lot of folks like he did in Push Ups or the Drop and Give Me 50 song. He definitely did it in three different sections, and the fact that it was... It was dark. It actually made me nervous. It got scary dark. And, you know, the fact that other family members got involved along with it, too, I'm sitting up here like, yo, this is getting deep. This is getting scary hours type deep. We may need to pull back some, and then here come Kendrick. Nah, we ain't finna pull back if this is where we finna go. Let's go there. You want to play in the dirt? Let me make some mud.
And just to make it even worse, I'm going to bring in your dog, the one you're trying to hide.
Man.
Bro, he basically addresses the dad, the mom, the son, and the daughter. I'm surprised he didn't go after the family dog either.
That's probably next in the next episode of
shit.
Dragon Flow Z, if you will.
Oh, Christ, tell
you know,
it's been a long time. This is what rap used to be about back in the 90s. Like, who was the best MC? There's one guy on the top, and there's a bunch of guys who want to take his spot. But I don't know, man. It's like, if you thought you was the best, you gotta like keep at it like every day. Biggie went after Tupac, and then Tupac went after Biggie. Jay-Z went after Nas. Nas went after Jay-Z. Who else can I think of? Then Eminem came in and just destroyed everybody. I don't think anybody took him down for a while. And then you had, who else? What makes it even funnier is because people thought Drake was pretty good because he destroyed Meek Mills.
Yeah, until, you know, and then the whole Pusha T situation came out where him and Pusha T caught beef, and the fact that that still didn't get addressed yet, I'm like, so we're just not going to address it anymore, or like, you know.
That made me laugh because Drake killed Meek Mills, Pusha T kills Drake.
Yep.
And then Drake was—it just been on his back foot ever since. It's like he tried to be all cool with it. Then next thing you know, Kendrick Lamar's like, "I got you, nigga. I'm gonna just go ahead and obliterate your ass." And it's just... But no matter whatever happens, all we can say is this: this J. Cole's fault. I like J. Cole, man, but when he did drop that line saying the fact it's who's the big three, and Kendrick said it personally, so I'm gonna take it personally.
Let me find out. J. Cole pulled the ultimate publicity stunt in all of rap history. Get these two fighting. Stir up some shit. Have these two beefing for a minute where they start dropping diss track after diss track. He takes a step back, apologizes, and catches a whole bunch of heat for that, then turn right around and drop this Fall Off album.
You don't think J. Cole gonna do like a third party thing like this video game? Wait till those two niggas tie it out and just come in with a big haymaker for both of them.
That's what it feel like. That's what it feel like. And I'm glad I'm not the only one that thinks that, because I'm like,
because J. Cole grew up with battle rapping too, didn't he?
Yes. And so, he has the techniques. That's why it kind of bothered me when he backed out. And now I'm over here like, let me find out. You playing 5D chess with people. And you having them just eliminate each other while you just come out of nowhere and be like, yep, oh, by the way, here's my album, guys.
And the first four tracks are like Kendrick Lamar discs. That we don't expect.
Man.
You know, speaking of people getting buried, has anybody checked on Quavo yet? We were so focused on Kendrick Lamar killing Drake. Oh, figuratively. we just completely forget the fact that Chris Brown just unloaded 12 years of anger on Quavo with Weakest Link. Because when I came back off my media like hiatus, the first thing that popped up my YouTube feed from a friend of mine, he's like, man, check out this Chris Brown Weakest Link. I'm like, I'm not a big Chris Brown friend. Oh. I'm like, and I looked at it and said, Weakest Link, Quavo diss. I'm like, what? And I played it. Like, that's not even a battle. That's just a death sentence, like, to the gallows with your ass. And then Quavo come out with that weak-ass song.
you get sent to the gulag. He goes in the gulag and fails.
Bruh, he don't even go to the gulag, brother. He was supposed to go to the gulag, brother. His game glitched out. He's seeing nothing but darkness, brother.
He went back to the home screen.
Red ring of death in this motherfucker, dog.
Oh, man.
Shit.
Goodness gracious.
Man, this is why I love rap so much, because it's not supposed to just be about how many girls you fuck, how many cars you drive, how much money you have in the bank, how much goal you have. Who I don't care the fact that you're in the Sahara, you know, playing in sand, like playing basketball with camels and shit. We want to see how good you are.
Hip hop is back, baby. Even if it feels dirty, it's back.
I take it.
Oh man,
who else came out with something else? Cause I know, this ain't it. I gotta feel. And you know the funny thing is, just to keep it equality based, I'm waiting for some of the girls to come out with some diss tracks. Because you know they're going to be even more vicious.
Oh, no. I don't think it's going to hit hard as this, though.
No, but it's going to be more subliminal. Cause then Coyle Ray, this is just speculation, by the way. Mm-hmm. Don't Coyle Ray got an issue with someone? Or was that Nicki Minaj? No, that's Cardi B. See, I'm sorry. This is how much this rap, this battle, this beefing has got me back in the rap game. I forgot who had beef with who. Cause then Cardi B got some issue with some rapper now.
I want to say it's with three different people, but I'm not sure if it's still going or they just stopped all of a sudden.
We'll just say they stopped for right now, but good.
Yeah, because I feel like this is more important.
Shit, more important. More important. Definitely very important.
Oof.
But I say that when I was thinking about doing this topic for this episode, I had to ask Joe this question. He got all the time in the world when he wants to think it up. So, Mr. Joseph, who, in your eyes, when was the last time you seen someone get bodied this bad? Well, like, which rap beef was just like, you think it's like an even matchup and then just like completely one-sided?
Oh, man. The obvious one, of course, is always going to be the 50 Cent Ja Rule beef. But, oh, man. This is giving me that one time where Machine Gun Kelly apparently got high enough where he decided, I'm going to go against Eminem. It's giving that type of vibe right now.
I give him a C for trying. Because that song Rap Devil was a pretty catchy beat, though.
Yep. C for Coke. Because I feel like that's exactly what he used to just even muster that much courage.
And then Eminem body him so bad, he started dating Megan Fox. Like, I need something, like, easier to conquer. And even they broke up, I heard.
Yeah.
But I gotta be honest with y'all. Speaking of Eminem, he kind of, like, laid into my thing. The biggest utter destruction by accident? Eminem versus Nick Cannon. Let me set this up. This is going on, what, a decade? And here's the funny thing. Eminem was not even going for Nick Cannon. He went after, what's that girl's name? The glitter girl. Mariah Carey.
Yeah.
And then she did her song way back when, it was in 2000 or something like that. And then he mentioned Nick Cannon's song, like, you want me to ruin your career? You better find one. And what makes it even worse, and what makes it so bad, so bad, Nick Cannon drops three songs. Eminem did not reply to damn near none of them. And he still lost. How you set up a match, give yourself a handicap, and you still lose?
Just terrible.
You showed up at the basketball court, he never showed up, you tried to dribble, you broke your bone damn ankle, bro. How you fucking do that shit?
You didn't go to practice.
Practice? This is life, brother. When you challenge someone, you gotta bring it with you. Your song was so bad that you had three different songs and none of them even got across his desk.
Nope.
Hey, Nick Cannon just released a diss track on you. Okay. I'm enjoying my life. He dropped another one. This time he brought his whole crew from Wild Out. Okay. And then he brought a third one. And M is like, okay, fine. And just kept going.
Am I supposed to flinch?
And I thought another one that cracked the top 10 for me is Benzino. That was another one.
Ooh.
M killed a rap career and a magazine.
Ooh. Made the man cry.
Finally. And what's even worse, M did respond in that Doomsday track.
He did.
He waited till you gave up, and then he said, I'm just going to add salt to the moon and just rub it in, baby. Yeah, boy.
Like, damn. I'm going to break you down. Then I'm going to rub more salt onto it just because I can. Just to show you how evil I can really be.
You might be lucky the fact that Benzino's daughter decided to climb that collaboration with M. Because I think M, he said, They said in an interview, Coil Ray said, someone asked Coil Ray, said, if M-Act reached out for you for a collab, would you do it? She hesitated. She like, nah, I don't want to disrespect my father. Like, what do you mean disrespect your father? Your father disrespected himself. Shit. Like, how the fuck?
Shit.
Ooh. Oh, God. But I'm going to bring it back to the main topic. I got to give Drake his props. He came with it with that Family Matters soundtrack. He came with some heavy hitters. But I'm sorry, Drake. You down... It's 4-1 season over with, man. Pack your bags, go hang out with LeBron. Oh wait, Kendrick Lamar said LeBron's family stay away from him.
Damn.
Oh, but he can hang out with Steph Curry. Oh, he can't hang out with Steph Curry either. Drake, Kendrick said don't hang out with him either. Speaking of, man, Cat Williams said it best, man. This is the year. The truth is going to expose people.
Everybody's getting exposed left and right. I'm just sitting here just basking in it at this point. It's like who's next? It feels like Bill Goldberg in the late 90s. It's like who's next now?
Yeah, we're wrestling fans, just to let y'all know. But going with wrestling terms, I think Kendrick Lamar is a tribal chief. Who gonna take him? Who gonna take him out? I get because did you? Oh yeah, I get like I said, Kendrick Lamar's the tribal chief, so I guess Eminem needs to come out of retirement, be Cody Rhodes, just be the American Nightmare. Because who else gonna go after Kendrick?
I mean,
because think about it, no one else from Drake's entourage is coming to help. Not even his friends are like, hey, man, I got your back, bro. Like, because usually in a rap battle, when you feel like you lose, you be like, hey, man, I need somebody to feature me on. I need someone to feature on my next track so we can, like, go 2v1. Somebody's like, nah, bro, you done.
I mean, unless a stray bullet comes from out of nowhere and it rubs Lil Wayne the wrong way.
Lil Wayne is having too much fun going on ESPN. He is not about to come down off his.
That's what I'm saying, but you know that's a big reach. That's a very big reach. Like, and even I don't see that's gonna be possible. But then in the same retrospect, I'm just like, oof,
oof,
like. Gut punch after gut punch, and you like stop going for the body, please. Like
you gotta have a one hitter. That's what Drake thought. He thought he was gonna be so good that all he needed was one track just to end you. Kendrick like, okay, you got one, I got four. At the time of this episode, I have four, maybe five, maybe six, maybe seven. Wait, ain't Kendrick Lamar got an album coming out?
I believe so.
And wait a minute, nigga. Is Kendrick Lamar about to have a 2-disc set? One of the songs he already prepared, and the second track is The End of Drake. Please tell me there's a deluxe edition. If there's a deluxe edition, I will get it. Please tell me. And it's nothing but Drake discs.
Oh, that's gonna hurt.
And you know it's gonna be up for a Grammy.
Yeah. It's gonna hurt.
And you know, in the entertainment world is so fucked up, they're gonna make Drake present it.
Oh, shit.
Go ahead, Hollywood. Try that shit.
Ooh,
have Drake represent the like rap album of the year and give it to Kendrick. I wanna see that shit, that handshake.
Oh, that is just pure demonic evil.
Dude, it's Hollywood. They love publicity like this.
Oh. Man. Man, oh man. There's so many folks reacting to it on YouTube. I don't.
Yeah, we got the TV in the background, man. But we're just looking at it. All anything coming up on like top stores, it's Meet the Grounds or Not Like Us. And it's like, this is going to be talked about for the next couple of days.
It's a lot. Y'all bear with us. It's a lot. It's, oh, at least we got a chance to make an episode out of this. Because, I mean, at the very beginning, I was like, I don't even know what I'm going to say. It's, that's how bad it is. It's, woof.
Jesus, man. And it has to happen on Star Wars Day. I'm a big Star Wars fan, by the way, so may the 4th be with you.
Pun. 4v1. I mean, yeah. 4-1 in the beef. Oh, snap. This is a lot.
And I thought the most exciting thing in the world was supposed to be the NBA playoffs. This is taking over my free time. Sorry, people. We just having too much fun because I'm thinking about all the lyrics going in my head from each track. I'm trying to do a breakdown, and I'm getting a headache right now, man. And because Kendrick is one of those kind of guys. He has a hidden message within a hidden message within the message of the lyrics. And for some reason, this ain't over, but God damn. I really don't have. I really don't have much to really can elaborate on. Mm-hmm. That's how short this is. This is gonna be a good episode, but Kendrick made this one like I thought we were gonna go at least. Who cares? But anyway, but
there might be a part two coming, guys. So just be on the lookout.
Oh, pretty much yes, on a very quick lookout. But well. Since I told everybody that my friend, well, we're going to switch things up again. Switch things up right now. And we're going to do a quick, I guess you could say another quick interview. Not a quick, another interview, another topic discussion. But let me quick thank this episode's sponsor, no fucking body. Okay, now on to the next topic. One day. Anyway, but as I said early in the intro, my friend is really good when it comes to money. So if you want to tell the people at the restaurant what you do.
So I'm also a financial coach as well. Partner with their company, and we've been doing some real good things as of late. Looking forward to expand a little bit more, especially in the West Coast sector, if Kendrick Lamar would allow me, you know, with his permission, of course.
Yeah, because he runs that side of town now.
Since now, you know, LA has officially become a no-fly zone. So yeah. But pretty good with helping people, just, you know, making and saving money the right way. Anything that's dealing with money, if I can find a way to help them save it, I go out my way to try to like help people do that. Been in it for almost a decade now, and like I said, it's just been a great opportunity that I've had in front of me, and I definitely look forward to helping more people along the way that are looking for it.
Now, as you say that, do you have any examples of people's coming to you and like changing their like life around since meeting you? Not like I'm a millionaire, but so like I see the errors in my spending or my saving, and you like.
In in the beginning stages, a lot of folks don't really see it because I break it down to where it's almost like a mindset. When I break it down to a mindset, it actually comes out a lot easier that way versus folks like, okay, I just need to figure out, I just need to find ways how I can, you know, make it save money the right way. But they don't have a blueprint. But it's like once they have the blueprint, once they have everything laid out on how they need it laid out, then they adopt that mindset. I feel like a lot of people in this day and age, especially the 9-to-5 folks, you know, we kind of adopt the scarcity mindset through our 9-to-5. And in order for us to get where we need to be, in order for us to get where we can live comfortably, we have to be in that abundance mindset. I feel like once that type of mindset starts, then that's when greater, bigger and better things come to you. I know it's a lot, but it's it's deep, but yeah.
That was up, man. That was up. So, full disclosure, he has been trying to help me with my situation, and I've been kind of not reluctant, but I'm going to go ahead and ask the big white elephant in the room. Why do when some people get in your program and you explain it to them, what is the biggest skepticism, the biggest obstacle is the fact you try to convince them that it's not a pyramid scheme sometimes. Why do you think some people immediately when they hear the plan or when they hear how it's structured, they think it's a pyramid scheme? But you think that's the reason people back out? You think, or
I feel like it is because, you know, they feel like you got to make money off of somebody, which again, it's a mindset type thing. In order for people to really actually, you know, make money, they have to bring some sort of value. When a lot of people feel like it's a pyramid scheme, it's because they're afraid that they're not going to bring value or it's going to expose them for who they really are. Which, you know, I look at it as to each his own. Because when you're trying to better yourself, sometimes the stuff that you used to do, you're going to have to eliminate from you in order to build the best version of you. And a lot of folks don't seem to grasp or have a tendency to let go of the past, if you will. Not saying they should just let it go and, you know, that's not who I am or this and that and third. But more of, this is where I am in life. This is where I want to go. If I'm trying to get there to the next level of my life, there are some things that I probably have done in this life that I may need to change up or let go.
I see what you're coming from. Mm-hmm. But it's just that mindset that they need to get rid of, right?
Yes, yes.
I don't think it helps that there's been a lot of, you know, multi-level marketing schemes that kind of failed. So any idea of it was like a pyramid scheme is immediately people get scared and cold feet. Mm-hmm. But that's what's up, man. I'm actually pretty happy the fact that you're trying to help people. So I gotta just ask you to define this. What's in your eyes the difference between being broke, have money, self-made, and like self-made? Because like you said, people have different tendencies of how they make it. But do you think just having like thousands of dollars in the bank means you're well-made, or you think it's just because you think it's from, you know, having a few dollars? Because there's some people who have money, but other people who consider them broke. Mm-hmm. And there's people who have millions of dollars, and people still say, well, you're not that rich. But in your eyes, what you think the difference between being broke and have money? The amount of zeros or how you spend it?
I want to say it's more so of how you spend it. You know, we are all accustomed to watching, you know, various things on Instagram, Snapchat, you know, various sites like that. And we all see the same thing. You know, once you make it, you know, you're going to get the house, the car, and this and that and the third. You know, some of that stuff is nice. It's great. But you know, if you're trying to get to that next level, you can't be all your life spending your money on dumb shit. Like, it's gonna be there for you, whether it's there or not. At the end of the day, you know, if we can just stop focusing on buying the dumb shit, then we would be a lot better off.
Yeah. I actually tend to agree. It's not about how much money you have, it's how you spend it, how you flourish in the community and also around. You could have no money, but if you know how to take care of the money that you do have, mm-hmm. you're well made. Meanwhile, there's people that's like, not just athletes, even these TikTok and Snapchat influencers, they got money out hand over fist, but they spend it just as fast as they get it. They don't know how to invest. They don't know how to take care of it. Like, speaking of example, we're watching the NBA playoffs are going on right now. Anthony Edwards, the superstar from Minnesota, he did an interview with a couple. I forgot what he did it at, but he's based on the fact that none of his jewelry, besides probably a few chains in his wardrobe, is all fake. Because he knows the fact that he don't need money to show that he has it.
Exactly.
And he also probably has some couple of investments.
Exactly.
But you could tell, but also it's, spending money does not mean you have money. It's just it's a coping mechanism.
Yeah.
That's all it is. I want to show you that I got money by spending my money to show you that I have money, which is a redundant motherfucking statement. I'm going to spend what I have to show you that I have it.
It's a double entendre. That's a bar.
Don't come after me, Lamar. Don't come after me, Mr. Kendrick. I was just making a statement. Oh, crap. But no, that's the thing that always got me. I'm pretty self-made, even the fact I'm starting to a podcast on a shoestring budget, not even with string, but I don't have to like flaunt my money. I'm around, that's why most of my partners, all the homeboys, all my homegirls, we don't flaunt what we have. We just thankful for what we have it. Exactly. It's the guys that want to impress me that say, like, look what I got.
Exactly.
No disrespect, but when I used to work at an old job way back when, I remember this dude had no name brand shoes, but he was clean. This dude had on, he had what they call a Roman numeral shoes. I didn't know the brand, because I don't think there was a brand. All it had was just Roman numerals on the side. I thought they were Kyrie's and stuff. I looked up, no. They're not affiliated with Nike or any of the no shoe brands.
No name shoes.
But he can tell you, but he will go on lavish trips all the time. That is what you call he got it made. But and besides that, this is not a black issue. This is just a, what is it? This is a status problem.
Yep.
It ain't have to do with race. It's not even class. It's just like, we live in a world now where if you want to make it big, you got to make it big by what you have, not what you don't have. Wow. Which is some bullshit right there. And this is one of the things I want to teach people. And all that stuff. But they won't learn until they don't have it, until they lose it all. Mm-hmm. And by that time, it's usually too late.
In some aspects, yes. But they have been, because I'm actually a product of it, where I was on the process of losing everything, but all I had to do was just, you know, flick of a switch, and I was able to, you know, turn it around before it was too late. So I'm very, very grateful for actually making that part of my life actually happen. So I'm very, very grateful for that.
He learned it that way. I learned it by being a dumbass. No, I did the same thing too. I did it. I lost, almost went stupid over a girl, over a woman, basically. Trying to show that I have money instead of just being me.
There you go.
But lesson learned. A little late in life, but lesson learned.
as long as we learn the lessons and make ourselves better through it, that's what makes us better. Mm-hmm.
So do you have any, like, quick saving tips for anybody? Like, something like if you sorry, this is a new episode. I'm still trying to get my wording down, but if you saw yourself at, let's say, 18, and you had all, like, 1 hour, what would you teach them? Like, what lessons would you teach them in that hour?
Invest early and invest often. It can work to your advantage once you get to retirement age, because then you will actually understand the accumulation of actual wealth. Sometimes saving our money in banks are good for short term, not long term. When a lot of people talk about saving, they're talking about putting their money in a place where it doesn't work. When you actually invest your money, money is actually working to help make you more money. I think if more people actually approach it at that level per se, it can help them as far as long-term goals go rather than short-term goals.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Me, if I went back in time, I would just say, hey, man, Georgia won. get ready to rub it in their face for 2 years.
Boo.
Oh, shut up. You got a Georgia fan. My friend's an Auburn fan. Go figure. But I would tell myself pretty much the same thing I said. Invest into your 401k. Keep that up. You don't have to buy every... Work on your impulse control. That's the one thing I will tell my young self. You don't have to buy everything just because you can get it on sale today. Wait a while and it might go cheaper. Don't try to impress anybody. The right people will come in your life, and they will stay around in your life. You don't impress people with money, because as soon as you have no money, they disappear. And that's pretty much it, though. But although I will try to tell him to invest in some things, but I don't know when to tell him how to get out of it, because then I don't want him to be some kind of, like, fucked up grill. Because also, the one thing that our young selves will have is that when we were young, we have all the time in the world, so when we make mistakes, we think we have all the time in the world to correct them. But when you get older, you realize every mistake comes back tenfold later in life. So,
I always got to learn from the mistakes, because learning from the mistakes, you just learn from the lessons.
The problem is the fact that people keep making the same mistake, thinking they can fix it at the long run, at the last minute. Life is not like Microsoft Word. You can't just copy and cut and copy and paste and copy and repaste and edit the shit. You're gonna have, once you make a mistake, you have to own it. Mm. But I wear my mistakes on my sleeve. I don't hide from my mistakes. If I fuck up, I fucked up. And I say, yeah, I fucked up. And what you gonna do? I'm gonna learn from it and be better. That doesn't mean I'm gonna fuck up anymore. Because the funny thing about life is that they'll put you in the same position twice to see if you learn your fucking lesson. And if you didn't, you're gonna learn the same fucking mistake and the same fucking problems. Yep. Anyway. Well, I don't know if you hear that, but that's the sound of the last order being wrong. This has been another great episode of Straight Cheese No Lettuce. Mr. Joe, if you have any plugs or anything you want to say, like any last word of advice or anything you want to plug or you want to drop your socials, you can right now.
Ah, man, I got so many socials I can't figure out which one I want to drop. But follow me on Instagram, the Game Changer 85. That's the handle, the Game Changer 85.
Okay. As for me, you probably know my socials, but I'm pretty much go by Mr. Insanity 88. And if you catch me on Snapchat, just go by Matt Newton or True King 33. Don't forget to email at my email is strcheese1@outlook.com. I'm still trying to get some questions, some advice and, you know, opinions and stuff like that. So send me some things your way. I'm going to get that episode out sometime soon. But have a great day. Remember, stay safe out there. Get some sleep. Make sure you drink that one shot of vodka each night. And stay cheesy, folks.